This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Michigan Campaign Finance Network Director Craig Mauger tells us which races in the state have been attracting the most dollars this election season. But first, the search for new ideas on policing brought Bridge, the online news service of the Center for Michigan, to Kalamazoo recently. Reporter Nancy Derringer is one of the writers of the article called Amid Guns and Violence and Police Shootings, a Program That Works. Nancy Derringer joins us via Skype. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
So what was the basic genesis of writing this article to start with?
Well, you know, Bridge is a publication of the Center for Michigan, which is a think tank that is centrist and nonpartisan, and we are deeply interested in finding solutions that both sides can agree on. And, you know, this has been a very, very violent summer. And it has been one that has not helped people find common ground. If anything, the two sides are yelling at each other even louder. And so we were looking around for some programs that seem to have an effect on violence, but don't necessarily require gun control, an enormous investment of money, and the like. And so we, in casting around, we found out about Operation Ceasefire and discovered that Kalamazoo is in the process of implementing it. I think they've finally got the money for it. And we thought we would just check it out.
And explain how Operation Ceasefire works.
Well, it's a very focused, very intensive program. It's not aimed at domestic violence. It's not aimed at mass shooter violence. It's aimed at youth violence, and particularly youth gun violence, and particularly youth group gun violence, which immediately makes people think of gangs, but they avoid the word gang in this because they point out correctly, and by they I mean Chief Jeff Hadley of the Kalamazoo Police Department, but also other people who work with Ceasefire. An awful lot of gun crime is committed not necessarily by gangs that have colors and names and rituals and so forth, but just by loosely affiliated groups of kids who hang out together. What they do is the police identify who these individuals are, and they invite them in for a no-risk sit-down, essentially. And the police tell them that they know who they are and they know what they're doing, and they tell them this will not be tolerated. However, we understand that if you want to stop, you may need some help, and we are going to get you some help. And from the way it's described, it sounds as though these people are all sitting around the table with the police and the young people who they've identified as perpetrators in their communities. There is a team of social service specialists. And the question is, what do you need to stop doing this? Do you need job training? Do you need to go back to school and get a GED? Do you need drug treatment? We have representatives from all of these groups here today who are stand ready to get you help right immediately. But then they tell them, if you refuse to do this, if you resist this, we are going to come down on you. And we're not just going to come down on one of you. We're going to come down on all of you. So if one of you messes up, if one of you does something that we believe can be connected to you, all of your lives are going to get a lot worse. We're going to start rousting you for things like petty drug possession. I mean, the sort of things that police, you know, may look the other way on in a different set of circumstances. And what that does is it gives them a way to save face, because if they feel any kind of loyalty to their friends, they may think, well, I can't just do this for me. I've got to think about the other guys. And they have a way out that doesn't require them to kind of publicly back down and not be very macho. But the final act is the one that is really the coup de grace, and that is when they bring in members of their own community, people that they may know, friends and neighbors, to speak about the consequences of gun violence in these communities. In Kalamazoo, my colleague Ron spoke to Wendy Flora, who is of the Interfaith Strategy for Advocacy and Action in the Community organization.
Also known as Isaac, yeah.
Yeah, also known as Isaac. And she will bring in the mothers of victims and the mothers of individuals who have been sent to prison to just talk about, you know, what one thoughtless moment can lead to a lifetime of consequences. And from what I'm told, that is really the step that drives the point home, is when they actually stand up and face these women, and mostly women, I guess. I guess there are fathers there too, and really look at what their actions can do. I mean, we all know, you know, the term callow youth is pretty common in our culture, but, you know, a lot of kids, they don't think about this stuff. And they don't think very far down the road. And so just seeing this kind of thing can be, I'm told, very effective. So that's the program in a nutshell.
That whole part about coming down on a group of people if one of them strays would also seem to perhaps bring about peer pressure. You don't want to be the one responsible for all of us being targeted by police.
Exactly. And that's the idea, is it allows them to save face, and then it also brings peer pressure into it. So it is kind of a dynamic, if you will, that allows these young men mostly to have an out, I guess. If they're, you know, I guess we probably have to think that a lot of these guys, they don't want to necessarily be doing what they're doing, but they're doing it because they just don't feel there's an alternative, or they don't see the appeal of living a different kind of life. And if you throw this in the mix, it can make a difference.
Is it expensive for a city to implement something like Operation Ceasefire?
Well, I was told by Chief Hadley that the budget for Kalamazoo is $300,000, which will cover the costs of the program for about 3 years. Which doesn't seem like an awful, awful lot of money. But as Chief Hadley and many others have pointed out, you know, this is a very grim time for municipal finance in Michigan. We have cities all over the state that are really struggling to pay the bills. So they applied for some federal grants. They didn't get them. And then they finally found the money from two foundations there in Kalamazoo that agreed to cover the Kalamazoo Foundation and
the Irving S. Skillmore Foundation.
Yes, thank you. That was the other one. Yes.
You did note, however, this is not a cure-all. This is really aimed at a specific type of crime, correct?
Yes. And it's also very, it's narrowly focused. And it's very, it's labor-intensive, and it requires a great deal of organization. This has been, when it was tried in Detroit, they limited it to two zip codes, I believe. And they had mixed success. They had one, they had a drop in violent gun crime in one area and not in the other one. So it's not a cure-all, and it requires a lot of people to commit to changing things. But if you follow, you know, if you believe that good ripples out from good, then I suppose you can say that it's worth it.
From the quotes in your article, it would seem as though Kalamazoo Public Safety Chief Jeff Hadley is pretty optimistic about what Operation Ceasefire is going to do in Kalamazoo. Why does he say that?
Well, I think Chief Hadley believes that the policing is a different game than it may have been, you know, in the last generation. It requires a different set of skills. When I asked him, what would you say to the governor or policymakers, if you were, you know, seated next to them at a dinner party, what would you say you need? And he mentioned we need to train police better. And he said we need to cover things like communication skills, something called implicit bias training, emotional intelligence. He said these, you know, we have to police people who we don't run into in our daily lives or maybe have never met in our daily lives. And we can't just think of them uniformly as bad people. I mean, they come from different cultures. They may speak a different language. There are all these things that you really have to keep in mind if you're a police officer. And I think a program like this, which seeks to engage them not with necessarily with handcuffs and nightsticks, but with talk and understanding, I think that is something that's worth trying.
Does Operation Ceasefire have a pretty long track record of success in other cities? Are there a number of other places you can look at and say, yeah, it did what it was supposed to do?
Yes, it has had, I believe it's about 20 years old. It was the brainchild of a criminologist named David Kennedy, who is the founder of the National Network for Safe Communities at John Jay College in New York City. And it was first tried in Boston, and they saw something like a 63% reduction in youth homicide there, as a which they attribute to this. In Cincinnati, it was 41%. In Chicago, they call it 23% reduction in what they call overall shooting behavior, but only among those groups that met with the police. So, you know, as I said before, it's very labor intensive. Chicago is an enormous city, and we've all heard the stories about the crime rate in Chicago. So, you know, it would require an awful lot of social service agencies sitting around tables with an awful lot of young people in order for it to have a profound effect there. But apparently among the people who did meet with police, they did see their gun violence drop by 23%. So there's that.
But as you mentioned previously, police forces in this state have been facing reductions because budgets for cities across Michigan have been cut. Revenue sharing has been stagnant at best for most areas. Does this in any way really address that, or is this really a substitute, or would this work a lot better if cities were fully funded and had the same size police force they did 5-10 years ago?
Well, I think probably yes, it would work better. It's a program that is, I think, that acknowledges that, as I said before, we need to try something different because what we're doing now isn't working. I think obviously if police and cities had more money to devote to law enforcement, they might be able to do more of this sort of thing. You know, I live in the Detroit area, and Detroit is, of course, an enormous city. And if they had mixed success in two zip codes, you know, it's promising, but it's absolutely not a cure-all. And I don't really know what the answer is. I mean, it requires, it's not a lot of money, but as Saul Green, who ran the program here in Detroit, told me, he said, you really have to have the resources and you really have to have commitment in order to make it work. Because, you know, you're going to young people, many of whom have grown up, you know, probably most of whom have grown up poor and disadvantaged, and you're making them a promise. You're saying, you stop what you're doing and we will help you. Well, if you don't deliver on that promise, you run the risk of, you know, estranging them from any kind of help down the road.
Based on talking to Chief Hadley and talking to Saul Green, did you get the sense that people in law enforcement right now are looking for ways to extend some sort of an olive branch or have some way of opening up communication and dialogue with people who, frankly, may look at them and not have a lot of trust for police right now?
Well, I think you can say that about Chief Hadley. I don't know. I can't speak for law enforcement in general. But yeah, I mean, I think I think the idea behind this is, you know, it's diplomacy, essentially. It's the iron fist in a velvet glove, because there are consequences. I mean, they tell them, if you don't stop, your life is not going to get better, and we're going to make you pay for it. But at the same time, can we just lock people up indefinitely? I don't know that we can do that. I mean, this social issues, the crime rate is affected by a million different social issues that we have to come to grips with if we really want to make a long-term lasting impact on this. It requires, you know, education. And I think I gave the final word in this story to Luther Keith here in Detroit. He runs Arise Detroit, which is a coalition of, you know, community groups. And he said, you know, anti-violence is not just about saying don't shoot. He said you have to give people, you know, a decent education. You have to offer recreational opportunities. There have to be jobs for them when they finish school. All of these things contribute to a lower crime rate. And if you don't acknowledge that somehow, you're never going to make progress.
Nancy Derringer, thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Nancy Derringer is a reporter for Bridge. She joined us via Skype. The article, Amid Guns and Violence and Police Shootings, a program that works, can be found at bridgemi.com and also through a link at wmuk.org.